It's time for the book interview.
Boring books, that's all.
Books? Are you nuts?
No, nothing boring here. Money Life will bring you a book that is out right now. A book that will help you learn more about your finances.
A book that would make Ulysses look like it was written in crayon.
Smart books by smart authors that can help you decide how to best manage your money.
It's not a book! It's a weapon!
It's a weapon against making the kind of mistakes that people make in their financial lives. Money Life brings you the books, the authors, and the information to protect you from these missteps and help to keep your financial future secure.
I read your book. I liked it very, very much.
Don't just take it on faith. Hear the authors talk in depth about their books and give you the facts and figures to back up their information.
It's faith. It's the flower of light in the field of darkness. It's giving me the strength to carry on. You understand?
Is that from your book?
No, it's Johnny Cash, Live at Folsom Prison.
Welcome to the book interview here on Money Life, where I'm joined right now by Nancy Doyle. She is the author of Manage Your Financial Life, A Thoughtful, Organized Approach for Women. Now, before we go any further, I know that not all of my audience is women. But A, if you have a woman in your life, this book can help them and you want to hear it. But even if you don't, the concepts, truthfully, that we're going to talk about are, for the most part, gender neutral. There are some reasons, and we'll discuss them, why books and projects are done more specifically for women. But a lot of the things behind it, I know guys that are in the same boat as the women we're talking about who need help managing their financial life. Now, if you want to learn more about the book, the website is manageyourfinanciallife.com. Nancy Doyle is on Twitter. She's at Nancy Finance, but right now she's on Money Life. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Chuck.
So I always look at books that are aimed at one gender with a bit of a jaundiced eye, because the truth is financial advice is financial advice. And although you might talk about longevity issues or what have you and say, yeah, here are concerns that one gender might have more than the other, the truth is finances by themselves are gender neutral. But your book makes a point, one that I happen to agree with, that talks about how women aren't necessarily indoctrinated in this stuff, and if they're not, they can get themselves into a lot of trouble. So how have we come this far, and yet we still have that problem societally?
Well, that's a good point, Chuck, because the topics I discuss in the book are really meant for men and women, but for many reasons, I've targeted the book at women. As you know, our financial lives have grown increasingly complex, and there are a number of important factors, demographic, socioeconomic, and behavioral finance reasons why I'm writing for women. We all know that women live longer than men, but more women are living alone than in the past. Currently, 50% of households in the U.S. are married couples. That was 80% in the 50s. And the median age of widowhood in the U.S. is 59 years. Perhaps more importantly, most women during their lifetime go through a transition with a financial impact, whether it's parenthood, buying a home, starting a business, changing careers, divorce, widowhood. And when women go through those transitions, they often realize they want a better understanding of managing their financial life. But I have yet to find a truly comprehensive resource that I find helpful to women, that's easy to understand, and also is independent and objective. And that's why I decided to write the book.
The interesting thing to me was that if I needed to sum up the book in four phrases, I can do it. Mm-hmm. And yet I find that the four phrases would terrify. In fact, I tried this. I was just talking today to a friend of mine who used to work in financial services and was talking about how terrible she always has been on the money side of things in her own life, which is kind of funny when she worked for a big financial services company for a long time. And I happened to say we was going to be doing this interview, and I ran past her the four basic phrases that I think would summarize your book, which is, one, you need to get organized. Mm-hmm. Two, you need to sort of analyze yourself and understand yourself. Three, you need to educate yourself when it comes to investing, and then you need to go out and invest. And her response was, yep, it's great advice. And everything but the self-analysis, which boils down to I'm terrible at money, kind of terrifies me.
Well, I think that's a common perception that people have. And that's where I believe that when you start with the first step, getting organized, the whole process can be a lot less intimidating. Because if you think about it, I think one reason that people are not as active in managing their financial lives, is men or women, is that we are inundated with information. We are inundated with documents. We don't know what to keep, what we can shred or toss, what's important, what's not. But more importantly, we don't know where information is. And if you go through the first part of the book, getting organized, do a financial spring cleaning. Yes, it can be painful initially, but once you go through it, you will feel so much better and so much more confident. Then when you develop your in case of emergency file and in case of emergency plan, you have set the groundwork to become more involved in managing your financial life. And I think a number of these concepts on the surface may sound confusing or difficult to people, but one of the key points of the book is to make it approachable to people. And I've been in the finance and investing world for 30 years. My editor is not a financial person. She, in fact, is my college roommate, someone I've known for 35 years. And we were a great team because if something was not easy for her to understand, it was not going to be easy for my readers. So we went back and forth for 3 years writing the book with that very goal in mind, to make it approachable to people.
But there does come a point where someone who is reading the book has to actually, you know, it's sort of like saying, okay, we're going to tell you everything you need to know about skydiving. But at some point, when it comes down to investing your money, you got to actually, you know, jump out of the plane in this case. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of women, that's particularly difficult. How do you suggest somebody get over that fear? Because the truth is, you can have a fear that you're going to invest and have bad things happen. And, you know, I'm worried about market risk. Mm-hmm. But if you don't invest in the market, you're just giving a big wet kiss to purchasing power risk and longevity risk and all those other things.
Absolutely. You're jeopardizing your future. And it's imperative. The vast majority of us have not saved enough for retirement. And that's a well-known fact. But I think a main reason that people don't want to jump in, they're reluctant to become involved, is that they don't understand how some of the very basic securities work, how some of the asset classes change in value. And I think if people understand the risk of what they're investing in, it's less intimidating. And I think that many people are reluctant to become involved because they think, oh, that's beyond my education. I don't have a background in finance and investing like the author does. That's not something I can understand. In the book, I give examples of people who don't have backgrounds in finance and investing, yet they are successful lifelong investors because they understand it's important. They invested a little bit of time to understand the key concepts, and they stay engaged throughout their lifetime. And I think one of my biggest messages, I really want to encourage people, you can do this. It doesn't have to be intimidating. It doesn't have to be scary, but you do have to devote some time. I've heard back from so many people who've read the book and said, this really isn't as difficult as I thought it was going to be. And what's also interesting, I've heard from several men who are thrilled that their spouse is reading the book and is going to be more actively engaged in managing the family finances together.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of thing where I truly do believe that the book is particularly helpful. I mean, I have a couple of women involved in my life, my daughters most notably, and my daughters grew up in a household where, trust me, they were exposed to all things money, but they're still trying to make sure that they get their emotions right about money all the time. You know, they're giving themselves permission to spend, giving themselves permission to invest, allowing themselves to take a chance. My oldest, who does not earn very much money, has been saving relatively aggressively. And then she looked at me the other day, or the last time we had a conversation by phone, and was saying, I think I need to invest more because it's clear that I'm not investing a big enough percentage of my assets. I'm like, good for you, kiddo, that you understand you need to do more of that. So this is the kind of book that can help quickly, because we're almost out of time. Of the four things that I talked about, getting organized, doing your profile, getting the education about money, etc., which do you consider the most daunting? I mean, it is true that anybody can educate themselves about investing, but there's a reason why people don't. But at the same time, if you can do an accurate financial analysis of yourself, you can go a long way. So which do you think is the most important of those steps?
Well, I think, first of all, it's imperative that you start with getting organized. But the largest part of the book is the section on getting educating yourself about investing. And I've laid it out in a very well-organized manner that I think makes it less intimidating, because I think you can't understand the investing world unless you understand the fundamental concepts, the different types of asset classes, the different types of structures. You know, what's the difference between a mutual fund and an ETF? You know, it's a short discussion, but they're important differences. And last, you have to understand the different types of accounts and what might be right for you. So I think if you can devote some time to the educating section, you really will, it really will make a big difference in your comfort level with the topic of investing. And again, I also have the website that people can go back to, and you're even able to ask me questions if you'd like. If there's something you don't understand, you could submit a question on the website, and I'd be happy to follow up with and put something on the website.
The book is Manage Your Financial Life, A Thoughtful, Organized Approach for Women. The website is manageyourfinanciallife.com, where you can get more information about the book and you can contact the author. That's Nancy Doyle. That's who we've been talking with. Nancy, thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much, Chuck.
Remember, you can also follow Nancy on Twitter. She's at Nancy Finance. All right, we just hit the halfway pole on today's show, but halfway means there's much more to come. So settle back and relax. Don't you push any buttons, touch any dials. Don't do any of that. We're living the money life, and we'll be back to it in just a moment.